Welcome to our Sarah Sunday in Lent Worship Podcast of Holy Cross Lutheran Church of Austin and our Service Lutheran Church of Brownsville, Minnesota, March 20, 2022. This is Pastor Olana. How then shall we live? What a profound question for Christians to consider midway through Lent. The Lord has shown His mercy to us, forgiven our sins, and delivered us from death. Then what? What is the focus of our lives? The call of the reading for this Sunday points us to the repentance that bears fruit or good fruit of God's kingdom. Like trees that have failed to produce good fruit, the Lord has tended us with His word, with the warning of law and the promise of the gospel. But if the tree remains unfruitful, the tree will have to be cut down. It's hard word to hear, but God remains merciful. And most of all, He seeks that we bear good fruit of faith and repentance in our daily lives. May the gracious Lord bless you this morning as you worship with us. I invite you for the confession of our sins and absolution. The scripture assures us that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Let us confess our sins. Eternal God, we confess that we have tried to hide from you, for we have done wrong. We have lived for ourselves. We have refused to forgive, love, bear the trouble of others, and have turned it away from our neighbors. We have ignored the pain of the wounded and passed by the hungry, the poor, and the burdened. O God, in your mercy,
forgive our sin, and free us from selfishness, that we may choose your will and obey your commandments, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us. And for his sake, God forgives all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestow on them the Holy Spirit. May the Lord, who has begun this good work in us, bring it to completion in the days of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. O God, whose glory it is always to have mercy, be gracious to all who have gone astray from your ways, and bring them again with penitent heart and steadfast face to embrace and hold fast the unchangeable truths of your word. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, and now forever. Amen. Our Old Testament reading for this Sunday is taken from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 33, verse 7 through 22. So you son of man, I've made a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. If I say to the wicked, O wicked one, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from their ways, that wicked person shall die in his iniquities, but his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked to turn from his ways, and he does not turn from his ways, that person shall die in his iniquity, but you will have delivered your soul. And you, son of man, say to the house of Israel, Thus have you said, surely our transgression and our sin are upon us, and we rot away because of them. How then can we live? Say to them, as I live, declared the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the days of the wicked, but the wicked turn from their ways and live. Turn back from your evil ways. For why will you die, O house of Israel? And you, son of man, say to your people, The righteous shall not deliver him when he transgresses, and as for the weakness of the wicked, he shall not fall by it when he turns from the weakness. And the righteous shall not be able to live by his righteousness when he sins. So I say to the righteous that he will surely live, yet if he trusts in his righteousness and does injustice, none of his righteous deed shall be remembered. But in his injustice that he has done, he shall die. Again, though I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, yet if he turns from his sins and does what is just and right, if the wicked restores the pledge, gives back what he has taken by robbery, and walk in the statue of life, not doing injustice, he shall surely live. He shall not die. None of the sins that he has committed shall be remembered against him. He has done what is just and right. He shall surely live. Yet your people say, the ways of the Lord is not just, when it is their own way that is not just. When the righteous turn from his righteousness and does injustice, he shall die for it. And when the wicked turns from his wickedness and does what is just and right, he shall live by this. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not just. O house of Israel, I will judge each of you according to his ways. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks to be God. The epistle is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 through 13. For I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them. The rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with the most of them God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things took place as example for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not be adulterous, as some of them were. As it's written, the people sat down to eat and drink, rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality as some of them did. The 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to test, as some of them did and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by a destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the age has come. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest of all. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you to be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks to be God. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter. There were some present at that very time who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And he answered them, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or those 18 on whom the tower of Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all others who lived in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, also likewise perish." And he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it, found none. And he said to the vine dresser, "Look, for 3 years now I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground?" And he answered him, "Sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig the ground and put on a manure. Then if it should bear fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Illumined with the light of grace that Blessed day to you. This is Pastor Stolman with a Bible study of the Epistle Lesson for the third Sunday in Lent. We begin with prayer. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, during this season of Lent, we thankfully study the blessings we receive through your Son's suffering, death, and resurrection. That is why we pray for your blessing on our ears and hearts today, so that your word may prove fruitful in our lives. In Jesus' name we ask for the Spirit's guidance. Amen. The epistle lesson for this Sunday is from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 13. I'm going to read this from a paraphrase called the Living Bible because I think it makes it easier to understand all the things that are happening to Israel in the Old Testament. For we must never forget, dear brothers, what happened to our people in the wilderness long ago. God guided them by sending a cloud that moved along ahead of them, and he brought them all safely through the waters of the Red Sea. This might be called their baptism, because they're baptized both in sea and in the cloud as followers of Moses, their commitment to him as their leader. And by a miracle, God sent them food to eat and water to drink there in the desert. They drank the water that Christ gave them. He was there with them as a mighty rock of spiritual refreshment. After all this, most of them did not obey God, and he destroyed them in the wilderness. From this lesson, we are warned that we must not desire evil things as they did, nor worship idols as they did. The scriptures tell us the people sat down to eat and drink and then got up to dance in worship of the golden calf. Another lesson for us is what happened when some of them sinned with other men's wives and 23,000 fell dead in one day. And don't try the Lord's patience. They did and died from snake bites. And don't murmur against God and his dealings with you, as some of them did, for that is why God sent his angel to destroy them. All these things happen to them as examples, as object lessons to us, to warn us against doing the same things. They were written down so that we could read about them and learn from them in these last days as the world comes near its end. So be careful. If you are thinking, "Oh, I would never behave like that," let this be a warning to you, for you too may fall into sin. But remember this, the wrong desires that come into your life aren't anything new and different. Many others have faced exactly the same problems before you, and no temptation is irresistible. But you can trust God to keep the temptation from becoming so strong that you can't stand up against it. For he has promised this and will do what he says. He will show you how to escape temptation's power so that you can bear up patiently against it. Thus far, the reading. God in his grace places us Christians into a personal and responsible relationship with himself, and forgives all our sins through his Son, Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean that magically we won't ever sin again. We know from our own experience that we can be overcome by a temptation. God deals with us, however, in love, and so instructs us, as Martin Luther puts it in his explanation of the commandments, we should fear and love God that we may not, but that we may. So our reading today includes both a warning that we should not give in to temptation, but also a promise from a merciful and loving God, encouraging us to continue loving and obeying him by standing up against temptation. In our text today, Paul, In our text today, Paul shows from Israel's history what can happen to people who are blessed by God and then fall into temptation. He goes back to the days when the children of Israel were wayfarers in the desert. In those days, the most wonderful things happened to them. They had the cloud which showed them the way and protected them in the hour of danger. They were brought through the midst of the Red Sea. Both these experiences had given them a perfect union with Moses, the greatest of leaders and lawgivers, until it could be said they were baptized into him, as the Christian is baptized into Christ. They had eaten of the manna in the wilderness. In 1 Corinthians 10, Paul speaks of them drinking of the rock which followed them. This is taken not from the Old Testament itself, but from a rabbinic tradition about the Old Testament. Numbers 20 tells us how God enabled Moses to draw water from the rock for the thirsty people. The rabbinic tradition was that that rock thereafter followed the people and always gave them water to drink. That was a legend, which all the Jews knew. The children of Israel, in spite of all these blessings from God, failed miserably when faced with temptations. When the people were too terrified to go forward into the promised land, and all the scouts except Joshua and Caleb brought back a pessimistic report, God's judgment was that that whole generation would die in the desert because they grumbled and said, oh, we either go back to Egypt or die in the desert. So God said, well, that's what's going to happen. When Moses was on Mount Sinai receiving the law, the people seduced Aaron into making a golden calf, and then they worshipped it. They were guilty of fornication with the Midianites and the Moabites, and thousands perished in the judgment of God. They were wasted with serpents because they grumbled along the way. When Korah, Dathan, and Abiram led a grumbling revolt, judgment fell on many, and they died. Israel's history shows that God's people fall into sin when tempted by their sinful flesh, the world around them, or the devil himself. Paul mentions the following temptations specifically: idolatry, fornication, grumbling, and putting God to the test. This last one is explained like this: consciously or unconsciously, someone trades on the mercy of God. In their mind, they may have this idea: it will be all right, God will forgive. That is placing oneself in peril, forgetting that God is holy and demands holiness in his followers. He can demand that because when he forgives our sins in Jesus' name, he declares us holy, which we accept by faith in Jesus Christ. Why Jesus Christ? Because he is one who has paid the price for our sins with his suffering and death. In faith, then, we do not want to make false presumptions on the holiness or grace of God. By faith in Christ, we do not want to be smug while being in our faith, lest we fall. Instead, we stay alert with God's help. There are three other things about temptation that we should note. The first two are, temptations will come. And the second, temptations are not unique. Others have endured temptations, and others have come through temptation. A friend tells how he was once driving Lightfoot, the great Bishop of Durham, in a horse carriage along a very narrow mountain road in Norway. It got so narrow that there were only inches between the wheels of the carriage and the cliffs on one side and the precipice on the other. The driver suggested in the end that Lightfoot would be safer to get out and walk. Lightfoot surveyed the situation and said, other carriages must have taken this road. Drive on. When we are confronted with a temptation, we are experiencing what other Christians have, but we also have God's help, as other Christians have, to overcome the temptation. That brings us to the third thing about temptation, a most important thing. Paul reminds us that there is a way of escape from temptation. That way is relying on the power and grace of God. And help us, God does. For after forgiving our sins and declaring us righteous in his sight, he sends us his Holy Spirit. The Spirit, then, enlightens, sanctifies, and keeps us in the true faith so that it is possible to withstand temptation. From Israel's history, then, the new Israel of the last days, that is, the Church, as the Church we may learn, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. Not that the Christians live in sheer terror. They know that the faithful God who called them into the fellowship of his Son remains protectively in charge of our embattled lives. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, as members of your Church, help us live in readiness for the last day when you will return in glory. As we hear and obey your word, send your Spirit to strengthen our faith and guide us in holy living. It is this blessing, Heavenly Father, we seek. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let us confess our confessions in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead, and he ascended into heaven. And he sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us close our service with thanksgiving. Praise be to you, O God the Father, who created all things by your power and wisdom, and did so love the world, as to give your Son to be our Savior. Praise be to you, O God the Son, for you were made man, like us in all things except sinning, and were put to death for our trespasses, and raised for our justification. Praise be to you, O God the Holy Spirit, that you have led us into all truth, and you pour into our hearts the love of God. All praise and glory be to you, O God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, forever and ever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and glory forever and ever. Amen. With this, we close our podcast for this Sunday. May the Heavenly Lord bless the rest of your days. Go in peace and serve the Lord. Thank you.
time.